Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Emily, and I'm so excited to share this episode with you as we are going to dive into the highly sensitive person. And you might be a highly sensitive person yourself. You might not be aware that you are one. And this episode will help you illuminate a lot of information around this personality trait. How much of the population has it, and where it comes from, and how you can thrive in this way. And I brought on an expert in this area. I brought on Alyssa Boyer, who is a mentor for highly sensitive people, HSPs, as we'll refer to in this episode, with a passion for helping fellow HSPs learn how to reduce overwhelm, manage their energy, and fully embrace who they are. And we will dive into all the things about HSPs, but mainly in owning this quality in yourself and how you have maybe received feedback and conditioning growing up that you were too much or your needs were, you know, different from other people. And it really does affect your self-worth and how you embrace these qualities in yourself. So we talk a bit about the disempowered, highly sensitive person, how it's so easy to live from that space, how to become empowered as a highly sensitive person, and the traits that make you successful as a highly sensitive person in business, in relationships, in creativity. And Alyssa is a wealth of knowledge. She'll share a lot about the research and origins of the highly sensitive person. And we even talk about the trauma connection with highly sensitive people and the nervous system, which I was super curious about. And I really, really learned a lot from Alyssa in this episode, and I hope you do as well. So hope you enjoy, and we will talk soon. I also want to note that there was some feedback on the recording, a little bit on Zoom on my end. I think it's just really at the end. So if you notice that, many apologies. Not sure what's going on and looking into potentially a different platform so that that doesn't happen again. But you may notice there's some cutting out. So I just wanted to note that. All right, let's dive in to the episode.
So welcome to the podcast, Alyssa. I am so excited to have you on. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Amazing. So I'd love to hear from you. What really helped you realize you were a highly sensitive person? Like, what led you to doing that and starting this highly sensitive person movement that you've created?
So my path to finding out I was a highly sensitive person was definitely kind of like a windy, painful path, which I find is the case for a lot of HSPs. So of course, my entire life, I knew I was very sensitive. I was always like very emotional, very creative, imaginative. I like could just spend hours and hours in my room by myself. I always just like felt everything deeply. But I always thought being sensitive was a bad thing because that's kind of just what I always heard. Oh, you're so dramatic. You're so emotional. Why do you make everything such a big deal? So you know, I spent most of my life thinking that my sensitivity was a bad thing that I needed to like hide or change. So I, you know, fast forward to getting my first job out of college. I grew up in Minnesota and then I got an internship opportunity in Southern California. So I moved to Southern California. I was working in this job and you know, I wanted to get hired full time. I was just an intern making 10 bucks an hour. And so I was like very motivated and very driven to make this a full-time opportunity. And with that, I was just like working myself to the bone, like trying to keep up with everyone around me, working these long, crazy hours, and eventually got hired full time. But really the culture of this place I was working was just like really intense. And I eventually started to get really bad digestive issues. I had something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and leaky gut. So I just was like sick all of the time, fatigued, just like chronically feeling horrible. And after seeing like several different gastroenterologists. No one could help me. I eventually went a holistic route, began seeing a Chinese medicine practitioner, and he told me that a lot of my digestive issues were actually from emotional stress and like trauma I was holding on to and just like all of this stuff. And I had never heard about this. I was not into self-help. This was like brand new to me. And it really just like opened my eyes to how we hold on to stress and how this can impact our lives. And so started reading self-help books. I started getting into meditation. I started like working, like realizing I actually had anxiety. I didn't know I had anxiety. And this was around the time then that my mom had found the book, The Highly Sensitive Person, written by Dr. Elaine Aron. And she passed it along to me. And she's like, Alyssa, I think this book is like meant for you. And I read it. And it was the first time in my life I had ever heard the term highly sensitive person. It like blew my mind. It perfectly described me. And so that was, gosh, about 8 years ago that this happened. And from there, I mean, it just like kind of organically got to the work that I'm doing now because I was inspired. I started blogging and I started talking about being highly sensitive, and it just like organically grew to everything that I'm doing now because I was like so excited about this discovery and I needed to tell others. So that's like a quick snapshot of my journey.
What a beautiful journey. And it's so, I relate so much to it. And especially like you said, being in that environment at work where it's just at odds with our highly sensitive nature and how you had to really be led to this path, and how beautiful that your mom gave you that book and recognized those traits. I think that's such a gift. And I think that, like you said, everything changes once you realize, okay, these things about yourself are actually gifts and they're positive and it's something that you can learn to work with instead of against. I think that's the turning point. And I think that's really helpful for my listener. What's your definition of a highly sensitive person? Just so someone could maybe identify with themselves if that's them.
For sure. Yeah. So when I say highly sensitive person, I'm referring to the trait that was coined by Dr. Elaine Aron back in 1991. So basically being a highly sensitive person is like a personality trait. I always compare it to like being an introvert or an extrovert, because a lot of people will think like, oh, I have to like get diagnosed. And it's like, it's not a diagnosis or anything like that. There's actually a self-test you can take on the website hsperson.com where you can literally like see what you score out of 27. So that's always really interesting. And that will help you like self-assess. But basically some of the traits an HSP highly sensitive person has are we're going to be overstimulated more easily. So we're just simply taking in so much of our environment. So we're noticing a lot. We're noticing the bright lights, the fluorescent lights. We're noticing the smells in the room, the way our clothing feels. We're noticing like the subtle shifts that people make with their faces. Like we are just taking in a lot because we are very highly attuned to our environments in every sense of the term. And highly sensitive person, the scientific terminology for it is sensory processing sensitivity. So it really is like you are taking in a lot. And that's why a lot of HSPs will be more particular about their sleep, like needing very specific environments and not being able to have like, you know, that I don't know, the TV on in the background or certain things will be very annoying to HSPs. It looks different for everybody. Also, HSPs are going to be more emotional. We tend to just feel deeply. We are very empathetic. We're able to really sense and feel what other people are feeling, which can be a blessing and a curse for sure if you don't know how to kind of turn it off. And we are also very intuitive. Because we're so highly attuned, we can really pick up on things, notice things that other people might miss. A lot of HSPs are very spiritual. It's just like we are connected in that way. I always say that being an HSP feels like you're kind of missing a barrier between yourself and the rest of the world. You're just like very open to all of it in every sense of the term.
Oh, yeah. I so relate and resonate with that description, like being open. And like you shared, those are all incredible qualities to have. And I'm curious, do you identify with being an extrovert and a highly sensitive person or an introvert? Because I always picture a highly sensitive person as an introvert like myself, but I wonder if that could also apply to an extrovert.
That's a good question. So I'm an introvert, but I'm like a high sensation seeking an HSP. So that's like for anyone listening who doesn't know, high sensation seekers are going to like seek out novelty and like sometimes kind of like want to take risks and put themselves into like new situations. Yeah. So I'm definitely that. So there's that kind of like balance to it where I'm like, I like to do new things and put myself out there, but I also am an introvert and I am highly sensitive. So I have to still like prioritize recharging. But you can totally be an extrovert and be an HSP. I believe, I forget the stat, I want to say it's about 30% of HSPs are extroverts. So the majority of us are introverted, but you can totally, I have some extrovert HSP friends and they're amazing. And they always tell me that the challenge is balancing their need for like socialization with also their need for rest.
That's beautiful. Yeah, there's the nuance there of the different levels of a highly sensitive person. And I've never heard about that or learned about that. So that's really, really helpful to identify. Like, even if you are extroverted, you can still feel those sensations on a high level. And I'd love to hear from you, what does a disempowered, highly sensitive person look like? Because with all these powers that we have, you know, it comes a responsibility of managing them. And like you said, going inwards. And what would you say a disempowered, highly sensitive person looks like?
So a disempowered, highly sensitive person tends to be a people pleaser. So they are not really in touch with their own needs. They're always putting everyone else first. They're often like afraid to even speak up for what they need. They're kind of like tiptoeing and they're literally like, always saying yes to people because honestly, they're afraid of saying no. They're afraid of being seen as mean or difficult. And so they're literally like putting everyone else's needs before their own all of the time. Disempowered HSPs are going to tend to be then pretty resentful and feel like, oh my gosh, everyone takes advantage of me. I'm always doing everything for everyone else. And they go hand in hand because they're not saying no. They're afraid to say no. And so in turn, they're doing way too much and they're feeling drained. So that's another piece. They're going to feel drained. They're going to often feel like they just don't have energy. They don't, you know, they don't feel connected to themselves because they're constantly doing everything for everyone else. Disempowered HSPs also like tend to not have boundaries. Like you're kind of seeing the theme, like it's all just connected. We're doing too much, not saying no, we're not in touch with ourselves. We don't have boundaries. So it's literally because HSPs tend to be very conscientious. And so in the workplace, that's great. We are usually great employees, but if we don't have boundaries, then we're saying yes to every project. We're working late, we're working through our lunch, and then we're burnt out and exhausted and frustrated. And that's really like on us to know how to set those boundaries. And I also do see when I you know, meet an HSP who is in more of that disempowered state, there is going to be kind of like a victim mentality about them where it's like, it's hard to be sensitive. Things are harder for me. Like I'm destined for my life to be more difficult. And that's kind of the mindset where it's just like, this is happening to me. Being sensitive is hard and that's it. So those are some of the like kind of trademark things.
Yeah, that's so helpful to understand like the pitfalls of these traits, because I agree. I think I see some highly sensitive people use that almost as an excuse to then be like, oh, I feel everybody's, you know, emotions and I take it on and now I'm tired and then not doing anything about it. So that's helpful for my listener to really take a look at themselves and take accountability there of like, okay, where am I going into my own victim mindset of, you know, using these things as weights that I control over. And I think I myself went through that journey of experiencing that at work. I think that's the perfect place for this trait to get out of control, because it's almost as though you are tuned into everyone else's needs before your own, in a sense, if you're not evolved or aware of this trait. So I'd say that the best place to start is just discover that you are a highly sensitive person and just claim that for yourself. And with that, what do you see as key strengths of highly sensitive people? And I know you've posted articles on how being a highly sensitive person, you know, benefits you is in business and career. And I'd love to hear some things that you've noticed in yourself or the people you've worked with.
For sure. Yeah. I love like focusing on the strengths because I think that helps us like step into that empowered space when we can see like, oh, there's great things about this. Like one of my favorite benefits of being highly sensitive is like, I'm really good at like creating connections with people. I can connect in a real way because I'm empathetic, because I genuinely care, because I'm, you know, a good listener. Like these are things that come along with being highly sensitive. And so it's pretty easy for me to make meaningful connections with people, which helps in life to have close friendships, and it helps in business because my clients know I care about them. It also helps with like content creation because I can get myself into other people's shoes and kind of understand how they're feeling and communicate that back to them. So it's like your ability to be so aware of how other people feel is a huge, huge strength that not everyone has. It's really that like emotional intelligence. And I'm finding that emotional intelligence is starting to be more valued in the workplace. Like it's something that people are wanting their leaders to have is emotional intelligence, because if you have a manager who understands people's emotions, they're going to know how to, you know, deal with the different people on their team in different ways who have different personality traits. So these are like, that's a great thing about being highly sensitive. Another benefit is the fact that we are quite intuitive, which is amazing. Like we have access to so much wisdom. A lot of HSPs are kind of cut off from that at first because we tend to like lack self-trust because of just like our conditioning and things like that, where we're second guessing ourselves a lot. And so when I see HSPs kind of doing the inner work to like undo some of that old conditioning and start to embrace who they are, they can tap into their intuition, which tends to be really strong, where you start to notice little synchronicities and you get inspired ideas. Like it's really cool. HSPs also tend to be quite creative. So that's another thing where like they have, because we're just like introspective and imaginative, like the things that we can create are really, really cool. So that's another beautiful trait. Yeah, those are just a few things. The other thing I would say is like empathy. We're very empathetic, and that also makes us great caretakers, whether you're in a caretaking role or great partners, family members, like that is a beautiful gift as well.
Yeah, that's so beautiful to hear and so empowering. Like all these qualities are so needed and necessary to be successful in those ways. And you know, highly sensitive people have this rich inner world. Mm-hmm. And I saw you posted this recently and you just kind of touched on it, of why highly sensitive people don't have self-trust and this concept of highly sensitive people gaslighting themselves. Can you explain that phenomenon? Because I think that's something that I definitely had to come to terms with. And I've seen that too with the women I work with. It's, you're conditioned to almost detach from your powers as a highly sensitive mm-hmm. person. I'd love to hear more what you think.
Are you a high-achieving, heart-centered woman who's ready to experience more flow, more fulfillment, and more freedom in her life and career? I invite you to learn more about my program, Reclaim, which supports you in reclaiming your wholeness and your feminine essence to experience more alignment, fulfillment, and flow. And you've probably understood by now and listening to this podcast that there's a feminine aspect of yourself that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be embodied so that you can feel in balance and live life in a softer, more connected way. And to do that, you have to embody your self-worth and emotional empowerment so that you can move through the challenges that inevitably come up when you start walking towards a life that is soul aligned. And becoming embodied in your feminine helps you to anchor in a deep sense of faith throughout these challenging transitions, helps you to reclaim your boundaries and permission to say no, and to remove subconscious blocks and increase your ability to receive, which is a wound in the collective of the feminine. And a lot of this is embedded trauma in the body. And I use a somatic approach so that you can release these blocks in a safe way and start to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your body, which is always there and inviting you to start living from this space instead of from your head, which is, you know, the version of yourself that's anxious and in analysis paralysis is from living from your headspace. So if this sounds supportive to you, I invite you to book a free 20-minute consult with me to discover what do you need to embody to get this soul aligned life that you desire, what needs to be released, what needs to be embodied. And this is complimentary, so we can see if this is a good match and a good support for you going forward. You can find the link in the show notes, talktoemily.com, to book your session today.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, if you think about it, so many highly sensitive people went through the majority of our lives having people tell us, like, you're so emotional, you're so dramatic, why are you making this such a big deal? And HSPs make up 15 to 20% of the population around that. So we're the minority. And so our experience is not always understood by others. And so people can then tell us that our experience is not real. You know, we get gaslit, and they might not always be coming from a bad place. Like, people genuinely do not understand why it's so hard for you to sleep or why you need this specific diet. But for us, it's real. And so when you're hearing this over and over and over again, oh my gosh, like, you're so dramatic, stop being so sensitive, we start to distance ourselves from ourselves. We start to lack trust in ourselves because we're hearing that our feelings and our experience is not real. That was my, you know, that's mm-hmm. how I felt. I did not trust myself. And so from there, yeah, it's like, we have these feelings, we have these intuitive hits or whatever, and we write it off and we defer to everyone else. And we ask a million people for advice, which really just, like, perpetuates a feeling of insecurity and, like, the fact that we can't trust ourselves. And so we get further and further and further. And so we really have to recognize that and then take steps to learn how to trust ourselves, because, you know, we just give our power away so easily.
Totally. You captured that so well. And I'm sure so many of my listeners who are highly sensitive people can relate to that. It's really true. I experienced it too growing up, especially, you know, with family who operates different than highly sensitive people. It's like, they don't understand. So they might, you know, think that you're being picky or being too much. And then you come to terms when you grow up and you're like, oh, okay, that was actually for a reason. So I think it's just a journey to accepting yourself as well, and that self-trust piece, and, like, really coming home to yourself. And I would love to know if you have heard or really looked into the connection of highly sensitive people and trauma, because with highly sensitive people, like you mentioned, they're really attuned to others and their needs. And sometimes that can also be a result of trauma. You know, you were, you experienced something that made you, like, hypervigilant, and now it's in your nervous system. And I'd love to hear if you have any insight or perspectives on that.
Yeah, there's definitely a connection. So from Dr. Elaine Aaron's work, she explains that, like, high sensitivity is a trait that you were born with. Like, it's like a genetic trait. It's an inborn trait. So if you're highly sensitive, you're born highly sensitive. However, my understanding and what I've seen is that, of course, trauma can then make us more sensitive, more hypervigilant, more hyper attuned. But I don't think that it can make a person who is not highly sensitive become a highly sensitive person. I think it is really an inborn thing. But the interesting thing is that HSPs tend to be more prone to experiencing trauma because our nervous systems are more sensitive. So the same event mm-hmm. could happen to an HSP and a non-HSP, and the HSP is going to be more impacted by it because we're feeling it more. Our nervous systems become dysregulated more easily. And so, you know, when we're dysregulated and it feels like too big for us to manage, then we experience trauma. So I forget the stat. I just posted about this. I can't say it now, but there's a lot of the people in therapy are HSPs. I can't remember the percentage, wow. But it's a lot. Yeah. And so you will find that that is the case. We're going to feel it more. But the cool thing that's worth noting is there's something called differential susceptibility, which basically says that like people who are highly sensitive, like, yes, we're going to be more impacted by traumatic events, but we are also more positively impacted by things like therapy, healing, you know, things like that. Like we can actually have a more positive income because we're more like more malleable, more able, I don't know like exactly how to explain it, but we will have those positive outcomes. And so I think that's really interesting because a lot of HSPs do experience traumatic events or things that just feel really hard for them. And because we feel it so deeply and we tend to not be able to ignore it, we then seek help, we then find healing. And then a lot of us, like we're doing now, like want to help others because we had this experience and we're empathetic. We want to share. So it's really, really interesting how that can kind of manifest.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I had no idea, but it makes sense. You know, I view trauma even as something that happens too fast, too much, too soon. And if you're a highly sensitive person, that could be anything really that would feel that way. And I could totally see how working with a therapist would be, yeah, you're more open and you're willing to be vulnerable and share and be like so connected to your emotions, and how that would be a little bit easier maybe for the therapist too to make a breakthrough with that way. So that is really interesting. And I think that's also empowering to hear too, that even though we do experience trauma, and I think I've experienced that on a personal level of, you know, going through something and the people around me didn't have the same reaction at all. And I used it as like, you know, the means to launch a business and help other people and write a book. And it's like the other people did not have that experience at all. And that's, I think that's just a testament to highly sensitive people. Like you were saying, the gift of creativity and taking our feelings and using that as a way to impact people and make meaning out of these things that happen. And I'd love to hear from you, how can highly sensitive people give themselves permission to show up in the world authentically and own their strengths? And I think your Instagram page is such a beautiful place to for people to start and look at different ways of doing that. But I'd love to hear from you, what have you found has been most impactful in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's so huge. So I think there's a few things that I think can be really helpful. Of course, like reading about the trait, getting to know about the trait and like seeing yourself in it is just so empowering, like because so many of us felt alone, felt like no one understood us. And so when you kind of have that realization that you're not alone, this is really a thing. And here's the information about the trait. It can be super, super validating. I think another key thing that's really helpful for HSPs is to be in community with other sensitive people, because I find that there's a lot of healing when we're around others who are like us. And that can even be listening to a podcast like this, where you're like, oh, I'm not the only one. Because from there, like a lot of HSPs hold on to a lot of shame for being sensitive. They feel like they've just lived their whole lives feeling like their sensitivity was a burden and something that they needed to hide. And so I find that when we're in like community spaces around others like us and people share authentically and openly, it gives us permission to feel safe to do the same. And so I think it starts in those spaces that are safe, where we're with people who are like us, that can be kind of like our testing ground, our experimentation, where we put ourselves out there and share vulnerably. And then from there, you grow confidence because you have to put yourself, you know, you have to start speaking and sharing. And from there, then you can start to feel like okay within yourself. And that's when you can kind of take it out into your daily life and feel more confident in yourself, because you have kind of like the safety net of the knowledge about your trait. You know how to take care of yourself because you've learned about the trait and you know other people who are like you. So it just kind of gives you that like sense like, okay, I'm safe. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be who I am in the world because I know I have all of this to fall back on. And it's also like something I tell people all the time is like, you have to learn how to be okay with the discomfort. Like you're going to, if things are going to be uncomfortable, and you have to teach yourself that it's safe to feel the discomfort. Like you're not going to die. Like it's going to be okay. It might be uncomfortable, but like you have to expand your tolerance for that. And that only comes from doing. So I'm a big fan of like taking action, just small steps, but like do the thing. It'll build your confidence.
Yeah, that is such a great insight to have the knowledge of this trait and how it shows up in yourself, and surround yourself with people that understand that, reflect that back to you, reflect back the acceptance, and having the tools, which goes perfectly into my next question. And I'll share first just on my own experience as a highly sensitive person. That was the biggest thing for me, was trying to be present with all the sensation. And that really led me to embodiment work, because I realized, because I felt everything, I would just try and, you know, leave my body a bit and detach. And I didn't even consciously know I was doing that. So I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the tools that highly sensitive people can use to self-regulate and thrive in this world?
Definitely having self-regulating tools is like essential for us. And it's going to like what works for each person is going to be different. So I always encourage like, try things out, be open, because some people, like just some examples, like some people love breath work. That is something they do, breath work every morning. And that is just like their favorite thing that helps them a lot. For other people, that's going to look like meditation, like having like a seated meditation practice every single day, where you are getting in the practice of just like connecting to yourself, to your breath, and, you know, creating those new neural pathways, because we get stuck in this state of like overwhelm and anxiety, and that becomes our like permanent, like our default setting. And so having, you know, these self-regulating practices to kind of like shift into a different way of feeling is huge and important. Something I personally love is emotional freedom technique, EFT tapping. I do that all the time. That's something I always teach in my programs as well, as like doing that. That's a great way to regulate your system and to release emotional stress and just like all of that. It can be such a nice release. Even things like going out for a walk or dancing, like moving your body. Sometimes when I'm like really stressed or anxious, I'll take an ice pack and I'll put it on my chest. And like, that's very calming. It's like that cold therapy. Oh my gosh, there's so many amazing tools out there. Voo breathing, where you like voo, like doing that breath, or it's not, you're making that sound, sorry. And it like activates your vagus nerve, which calms your body. There's so many great things. So yeah, like just trying all of the things and seeing what works is really, really amazing and important for us.
Those are all amazing tools. I love EFT as well. I actually did some earlier today. I just like to start my day with that. And I think it is helpful to clear what's coming up, and on a nervous system level, just create more capacity as a HSP to be present and to have a way to process the emotions that are always inevitably coming up. And sometimes I'm even thinking, you know, I work with a therapist as well, and I think of people in the world, I'm like, how do they not have all these tools? But they're not HSPs. And so we are different, and we require these ways of regulating ourselves. And it's really about a journey of what works for you, and it'll be different for everyone as well. And so, Alyssa, I'd love to hear from you. What offering do you have to share with my audience, and how can they go deeper with you?
Totally. So I have a few different things that people can kind of check out. I have my, so this will be out next week, or yeah, next week. I'm like, okay, I have a self-worth program for HSPs, which is something I feel really strongly about, because I found in my work with highly sensitive people and in my own experience that there's often this feeling of like unworthiness, like we're inherently broken or wrong or bad, or, you know, and so a lot of times that can then manifest in overgiving or not having boundaries or getting into toxic relationships, because at our core, we're not feeling good about who we are. So I created that course to really help people heal their self-worth. So we go into a lot there. So that's one program that's like self-paced, that is amazing. I also do have business offerings for HSPs for anyone who is a business owner, a creative. I have a mastermind and I have a membership for HSPs, because I found that like being a highly sensitive business owner is just such a unique experience. It can be very triggering. It can be hard. And so I found like we need community. We need people to like lean on. And I've learned so much over the years. So those are two other offerings that I have to support HSPs as well. So
I love that. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, they came from supporting and learning about it. And you have such a wealth of knowledge of the HSP and how to support. And I love the work that you're doing. Where can my listener find you online?
So I'm most active on Instagram, which is at Life by Alyssa. So definitely there. And then my website is sensitiveandsoulful.com, which has all of the things. I have freebies, and I also have a podcast called The Sensitive and Soulful Show. So you could find all of that there.
Amazing. And I will link everything in the show notes. And thank you so much, Alyssa, for coming on the podcast and sharing your wisdom. It was so
Thank you so much for having me. I love chatting with you.